Morning, everyone. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. During the last 4 weeks, we've chosen to dwell in this passage and concentrate on four descriptive characteristics of the early church. They are in order: devotion, connection, action, and transformation. We've chosen this direction because, as we've seen in Acts chapter 2, God worked in a great way in this early church, and very simply, we want him to work in a great way in and through us as well. John MacArthur, a man who has dedicated his life to being a good student of God's word, he writes concerning these verses. He says, "This passage describes the historical outworking of God's ideal in the first local church. It describes the newborn church in its prime, when it possessed a purity of devotion to the risen Lord unmatched in succeeding generations." We've spent some time over the last several weeks talking about their devotion. But what I want you to see this morning is I want you to see what it led to. Verse 43, "Everyone was filled with awe." The New American Standard Bible has "everyone kept feeling a sense of awe." There was among them an attitude of reverence, an acknowledgement of his divine presence. This awe that Acts chapter 2 talks about describes a feeling that's induced when one realizes that God is at hand. By what the passage says, the life of this first fellowship was so genuine, I don't know a better word, so genuine and spiritually powerful that everyone, whether they were inside or outside the church, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. And they weren't awed by the church because of its buildings or programs or anything reflecting human ability, but by the supernatural character of their transformed lives. There was something going on there. We're talking about a transformed group of devoted, connected individuals whose activity, devotion, connection, action, whether together or apart, hear this, it could only be explained by God working among them. Today, I don't want to use my time by taking you back to Acts chapter 2 again. Because what I want you to hear is that the same God who so marked that early church, so transformed the lives who made it up, that same God is alive and active today, right here, right now. I want you to hear story after story of how God is working in the lives of people today, of how their story, well, it's become God's story of working in their lives. Kyle, Jenny.
Hi there, church. My name is Kyle Wilting. This is my beautiful wife, Jenny. We've been going to church. I guess we've been to Haver here for about since 2014, whatever the math is there. And I was born and raised in Harlipton, Montana. Small town guy. I love Montana. And I grew up in a family that was just unbelievable. My brother's here today, Eric. You guys probably all know him. He's like the mayor. I've been known as Eric's brother, you know, for like the first 5 years of being here. I'm finally become Kyle, so I'm happy to introduce myself today as Kyle, not Eric's brother, but which is cool, and I'm happy to play that second fiddle. I got another older brother, Brent. He's crazy down in Belgrade, super smart, genius, but crazy. And my mom and dad, and I grew up in this family that was supportive, Christian home, and it was an amazing launching point for me to go out and, you know, learn the world and all its ugliness that's out there for us, but to know that there's a supporting network. I could call up the old man right now and he would be here as fast as he could drive if need be. You know, that's the kind of supporting group that I had to base my life off of. But then I move on. I join up at the railroad. Anybody out there, railroaders, you know what it's like, but every couple years they want to move you around to a different spot. There's a lot of opportunity, but it comes at a cost, and you would be plugging in communities that you're not familiar with, and it's been a hit or miss type deal. And I got some great stories of success, and then some that it just wasn't connecting, and it felt disconnected from the body, and it just didn't work. And now we're at Fifth Avenue Christian Church, and get invited to a group a while back, and Mr. Nitz, I don't know, you guys all know Jeremiah and Mandy, they opened up their house to us, and we head up over there, and you know, we start doing life together, and it's unbelievable the structure that you can get just by doing life together. All of a sudden, Jeremiah becomes a real person to me, and he's got family that shakes my hand every time I come down the aisle, which is just awesome. And you know, he's got side projects going on, and borrowing equipment and tools that I don't know how to use, and he tells me what electrode I put on my truck to get the starter started. And it's just dumb stories, and it might seem small if you took it for what it's worth it right there, but when you look at the collective whole, it's like, oh, all of a sudden we're doing life together, we're plugged in. And and I've had some driveway talks with Matt Antonich. He's not just a pretty face, that guy is extremely intelligent. I mean, extremely intelligent, great discernment on his behalf, and the support that he's given me, just little tidbits here and there that steered my ship, and I couldn't have been in the position I am without his help. And Kevin Tweeton's in our group. I don't know if you guys met Hammer and Hank Tweeton. Kevin Tweeton, I guess he's here to me, but he's a great guy. He's also plugged into the community, and he's got a great network of people and the history of the town and the area and all those things, and it's just unbelievable. And Joe Hagstrom is another one in our group. I call him my brother from another mother. We were born on the exact same day in the same year in the Muscle Shell Valley. He was Roundup kid, I was Harlow kid. We were on the same baseball field and didn't even know it, but now we're doing life together. And it's just amazing when you have a group of people with all these amazing individual skills coming together. The synergy of the group, if we need a buzzword to describe it, it's just elevated everything. And then you got this group of people and their spouses, and I could tell the tales there, and you know, and Andrew Rowland is an excellent motivational speaker. You know, he can get you fired up. He's quiet, but when he gets going, it's amazing. And you have all these people in your house praying over your house, you know, for the first time, and praying for your kids, and you know, just taking care of each other in a moment's notice. If they need anything, drop it. And sometimes we're no help at all. I think we tried to remove a tree with a tractor at Matt's, and we failed miserably. It was a horrible experience, but at the same time, it was awesome. You know, it's doing life together, so we can bank off of each other, and it's just a good thing. It's a real good thing. I'll quit talking. I'd be up here all day, but I better not. Let my wife have a turn.
I'm Jenny. Like Kyle said, it'll be 6 years pretty soon that we've been here. But I feel like I truly plugged into the church once we started the small group. And we're just a group of people that is real with each other. Nobody's perfect, nobody's wearing masks, and it's a safe place to be that way. And I coined it shared dysfunction. We share our dysfunction together. I feel like the group has helped us live our life the way Christ wanted it to be, in an abundant way as well, in a fun way. So bringing some life back into our life. And they love my kids. like they're their own kids, which is huge to me. And the other thing I didn't mention at first service that I was thinking of later is even when you are struggling with your faith, God works through the people, his people, to show you that he's still coming after you. And our group is a very good example of that. Jesus with skin on. So that's it.
Sharon, last time, this isn't my wheelhouse, so, and I'm not going to picture you all in your underwear. They say that works, but that's just creepy, so I'm not going to do that. But my name's Ben. I'm from Havre, born and raised. Moved to Minnesota for about 10 or 12 years, and moved back here about 6 years ago. And I didn't share all this last time, but growing up, I mean, I was raised Catholic. I mean, I've always known God. But as I became an adult and accepted Christ as my own, I've just really enjoyed service. I've enjoyed plugging into the church. And like I said, I've been back in Havre for about 6 years and been wanting to get plugged in. I've talked to Rick a few times about this. I was like, I'm just sitting on the bench and I want to get in the game. And I wasn't totally ready to. People always say, oh, be careful what you ask for because you might, you know, and like they make it scary. And I'm like, I don't want to do something that I don't enjoy doing. So anyway, long story short, I was content just sitting in my pew, coming on Sundays, you know, smiling, greeting, shaking hands, and, you know, kind of living the Christian life, but wanting to do more. And I thought small groups would be a good way to kind of get that ball rolling. And since I've been in small groups, it's been great. I mean, like you're talking synergy, you know, just the connection and the authenticity and the encouragement has been overwhelming. I was sharing in last service, I'm a mental health provider by trade, and in one of our trainings, they talk about secondary trauma and how as providers, we experience a lot of trauma through just the stories we hear. And I was sharing with the group that the theme of the training was be held, you know, find people that you can be held with. Beyond self-care, find a place that you can be held. And my group came to mind. I was like, you guys have held me up and I know what I feel it. I wouldn't be able to do my job without my small group. So I'm grateful for them and just the authenticity that the small group has provided. One other thing I was gonna share, like getting back to the whole service thing, I'm hopeful that this will lead to something more. You know, I love Fifth Avenue Church. Like I said, I haven't necessarily been very active myself, but I'm hopeful that it's the start of a movement that will spread. Havre, as crappy of a town as it is, sorry, can I say that in church? okay. It's a dirty old town, but I love it. It's home. And like I shared in our last service, we're losing this town. And some of it, I take some of the blame for that, for apathy. You know, it's like you can want in one hand and do something in the other one and see which one fills up first. So I feel like I have to be active. And so in order to win this town back, I think that takes service. And so I'm grateful for you guys, grateful for the group, and just grateful for the authenticity. So, yay God.
Hi there. For those of you who don't know me, I am Johnny Antonich. This is my husband, Matt. Thank you for using that word crappy, because that is exactly the description I wanted, but I didn't use it for service. As most of you know, I am not originally from here, and if you've talked to me before, you know this was the last place I ever wanted to be. In high school, one of our great competitors was the Havre Blue Ponies, and now I coach it and am a Blue Pony, but vividly remember on a trip up here for volleyball, the dead of winter, I swear it was like 30 below and the wind was blowing 100 miles an hour. And I remember looking at my friend Chrissy going, who would ever live here? And there's no way I would ever live here. Yes, never say never, because I am now here. I did escape for 2 years, and then we came back. That's a whole nother story. But coming back into this community, we were plugged in before, and then coming back into it, it's like you have to re-plug in. And Havre is one of those towns where it is not easy to become part of a group. If you were not born on the High Line, if you weren't raised here, you really got to work your way in. Small group has been one of those things where I've gotten back into the group of things. And when Rick asked me, he's like, you know, would you do this? Okay, just because you asked me, I will, because I love him dearly. But how do you sum up what small group is to you? It's hard. How do you explain it? I mean, it's all of us, what we've just said before. But for me, over the last year, it has been, they have been my warriors, my people who fight when I cannot fight and or do not want to fight the fight that you're supposed to fight. The verse that kept coming to my mind, or the story, was of Moses. I'm going to read this. This is from Exodus 17. And so it was, when Moses held up his hands, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Ur supported his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and the people with the edge of the sword. And that's kind of what I see as my small group, when I can't hold my hands up, when I can't hold them up praying or asking God for help, for the courage to fight, for the wisdom or whatever, they come alongside and do that for me. Not only that, as we've mentioned before, of just, you know, the more abundantly, they make it fun. They make the icky stuff less icky. You can take a situation like chopping wood, nine quarts, really fun. You know, we dish out our kids. We give them little slave servants that we hope train. But they make the icky a good icky. They make it bearable. They make that cool Band-Aid a really bright, fun Band-Aid, and well worth it. So I guess to summarize what small group is to me, that's my group right now. They're there holding up my hands for me when I can't or when I don't want to. And they just keep you moving.
So a little bit more about this pretty face. I can't believe you said that from up here.
Thanks, Steve.
It just throws me off, Steve. So, Christian for 33 years, husband for 17, father for 16. And, you know, here I am just kind of going through life. But now, you know, you look back and you can see time is passing. Ray's getting in the beard, and you have time to assess, and you look back at time, and man, you see it's going by. And as you assess, for me, I start seeing I'm kind of a mediocre father. I'm really a mediocre and a passive husband. And I'm worse than a mediocre Christian. And I knew in my heart, that's not why Christ came to this earth to die and save me. You guys have heard it a couple times from up here this morning. John 10:10, Jesus says himself, I came to give you life. But not just life, life more abundant, life to the full. And when I say that, I'm not saying life is just all roses. But life has meaning. Life has a depth to it that is beyond compare. Life that you long to have with others. So what's that have to do with small groups? For me, I knew I needed to be around others that wanted to grow. I knew I needed, in order to mature, I needed to walk with some other folks. I need people to help hold me accountable. And our small group does this for me. It's pushing me to grow, to reach out beyond myself. Ben said it, looking to service, knowing that we want more for our community. and they're helping me push to do that. And with the Holy Spirit's power, we're trying to set mediocrity aside for a life that's abundant. One of the first studies that we went through was a four-part lesson, and in there was this one section about setting aside, in order to live in Christian, it was a lesson on Christian community. And in order to grow in Christian community, we needed to put our feelings aside, to set aside, I guess, more fully, the right to be offended. You know, the feeling that you might get when someone confronts you or things aren't going your way. And man, I'm a proud person, and I hold on to that right to be offended if I don't like something you say to me. And it kind of hit me that why would I give up that right? The talk of giving up your feelings in a group, and what we found, what I found out from this, is when I did that, the ability for others to speak into my life and to hear them, what I found is that sometimes the relationship deepens so much that they care more about how I'm feeling than I do. Talk about crazy. So the point of all this speaking up here for me is this, guys. If you want a Christian growth to happen in your life, if you want to leap forward in your relationship with Christ, if you want family that is close and caring and calls you out on your stuff, I guess in this service we can say crap, small groups is where it happens. And I didn't say this first service, but I'm going to say it now. Christ is not calling you into a small group at the time when you're perfect. He's calling it into you, to you now. And so if you're saying to yourself, you know, if you can relate to me, go sign up for a small group. But if you're saying to yourself, this isn't for me, I don't relate to what he's saying, I want to say this, and I'm a pretty blunt person. God is saying to you, you need it. Go sign up. Thank you, guys.
Around the end of May, Kenny asked me if I would be interested in joining a small group over the summer, and I thought it sounded like a great idea, and it was. I told Kenny, I think that's awesome, I'd be interested. A few weeks go by and I don't end up going. I make it there on the third session. I wasn't sure what to expect. I didn't have a clue who else was going. I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to be honest with people about who I was or where I am. And I was really nervous. Nervous I wouldn't be accepted or liked. So I went scared. We started the basic series by Francis Chan, and the week that I went was what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And I knew I wanted change in my life. I knew I wasn't living a life for God, and I needed him to change my heart, and I wanted him to, which was a lot more than I could say from years past. I always told myself that I needed to get my act together and then find Jesus, and that's not the case. God is a gentleman, and he will hold the door for you, but he will not push you inside. And I look forward to going to small group every week, to everything, to the deep conversations, to just living life together. People I can just be real with and share my story. I don't feel judged. I feel like they're my friends. We do other activities besides group study sessions. The bottom line is just living life with other Christians. We have been to Chinook and the Haver Fair, to ProPut, multiple DQ trips, thank you, Kenny, wherever you are. And going to the Big Sky Celebration next weekend in Great Falls. It was this summer of 2019, after years of having my feet wet with Jesus, that I decided to take the plunge, literally. I was baptized in the ocean at CIY. And for everyone that knows, and for everyone that doesn't, CIY is amazing. I have felt that reckless love of God, because no matter my burden or my sins, it became clear that Jesus still loves me and wanted a personal relationship with me. He met me in my mess. And there's this video by Corey Asbury where he explains why he wrote the song Reckless Love. And there's this part where he says, his love saw me, a broken down kid with regret as deep as the ocean. My youth and innocence poured out like water. And he found me, and he carried me on his shoulders, and he took me home. I was that lost sheep. And it always speaks to me because God is so, so good to me. So, summer's over. Back to reality. I'm in the teaching program here at Northern. I work two jobs. And now that school is back in session, I'm going to start to be a youth group sponsor for middle school girls. My small group meets Wednesdays, and I make sure to be there.
Morning. To those of you who don't know me, I'm Penny Bergren. I have not always been a Christian and was one of those people who could figure it out alone and could get all the spiritual connection I needed just being alone with nature. While there is some validity to being with God quietly in nature, I cannot figure out anything on my own, and I would miss the fellowship, shared ideas, and sense of community. About 20 years ago, I figured out something was wrong in my life and it just wasn't working. I made my way to Fifth Avenue Christian Church at that time and have been here ever since. I know that God has been working upstream for a very long time to bring about the foundation of my small group and life. He has known since before time that I would get sick and the people I would need in my life in order to survive my illness, gracefully or not. As many of you know, I was diagnosed with an aggressive cancer in January of this year, and I've spent the past 9 months on a path through the strange world of a cancer patient. It is unlike any journey I ever expected to take and was in no way prepared for the many aspects of my new life. Many times I've made comparisons to down the rabbit hole and meeting the wizard. As a little side note from this topic, I have been wondering how I could ever express my thanks to the congregation, to the people of our church family. Then I just happened to be turned loose up on here on stage with a microphone, and I see opportunity. Jerry and I thank each and every one of you from the bottom of our hearts for the incredible support, the cards, prayers, gifts, texts, calls, and the nonstop prayers have shown the most incredible love, truly love in the biblical sense. Many of you are strangers, and yet you have loved us and prayed for us and shown us what it's like to be part of Jesus's people, and we thank you. You will never know what a difference it has made to us on this difficult voyage. I know I'll never be able to catch up on the many thank you notes, but please know how truly thankful we are to each of you and how much it lifted us up each day to feel such incredible love. And as a side note, Rick told me to make it shorter, not longer, but my husband isn't a Christian. He believes in God, but he isn't a Christian. And through all of this, he has seen the love, the cards, the prayers. He's seen the invisible people there, not just for me, but for him. They call him, they lift him just as much as they lift me, and he is watching. My husband was with me when we received that devastating news. I can't imagine doing that alone. We spent some time just holding each other, ensuring each other it would be all right, and not have the slightest idea what we would do next or how it could ever be all right again. Then he went to his support group to get grounded, and I immediately reached out to my small group. I just sent one word, cancer. She was confused and sent right back, who, what, you? My small group knew I had been having tests, but 2 days prior I had been told that they didn't know what was wrong with me, but it wasn't cancer. In probably 15 minutes, my small group came around me with more love and support than I would have known possible. When our feet were knocked out from under us, they carried us, my small group. That's kind of like my people. I have people. How amazing that I could have people, people who love us unconditionally and have carried us for 9 months with no sure end in sight. And I'm not always a good patient and don't always make carrying me an easy task. But I'm sincerely loved, even when I don't deserve it. You couldn't achieve that just communing with nature. My small group has the capacity to know each stop on the road that needs celebration, carrying the burden, prayer, or just holding us up. Jerry has not left my side for 1 minute, and they carried us both. These past years, as a member of a small group, we have held each other through sicknesses, death, family conflict and issues, Wilma's new kidney, and the 5-year celebration of her successful surgery. We have rejoiced at the birth of babies, weddings, graduations, new jobs, birthdays, and anniversaries. We pray for each other and all our needs as a group. We go together as a group to seek prayer on Sundays. We have special prayer gatherings for each other in particularly dark times, and we accompany each other to appointments. We are there to remind each other to be grateful, to forgive ourselves, to walk away when necessary. Simply put, we are there. I am loved. I am part of something bigger and greater than myself. I am no longer I, but I am now part of we. I speak a small group from the heart and know firsthand how important they are to getting through the ups and downs of life. Life is never certain, and the curveballs thrown to in our game of life cannot be predicted and are certainly dealt with best when we are surrounded with love and support. Small groups are not just about the hard times in our lives, but the good times as well. We meet once a week to study the Bible. Reading and understanding God's word is something else that is very difficult to do alone. As a group, we cover the material and understand how God wants us to live our lives. This group study and give and take of ideas gives us a better understanding of God's word than when we try to get there on our own. As a small group, we celebrate together. We have impromptu lunches, barbecues, just to enjoy each other's company. We do service projects together to help the church family and community. We encourage each others to join our gatherings and enjoy our time with us. Our small group is family. We all have our immediate family, which is surrounded and loved and protected by our small group family. Our small groups are then surrounded, loved, and protected by our church family. We have then become a community, the community of God. To me, my small group is an opportunity to delve into God's word and understand what God expects of me. It helps me understand how to be a better Christian. There are people who love me and hold me accountable for my behavior. It provides an opportunity to share the good times, the bad times, and the ordinary times. It is an opportunity to be a part of something bigger and good. Sometimes when you join a church, you know it is something good, but sometimes it's difficult to find your particular niche, so you come but don't always feel a part of things. My experience has been that once you have a small group, you will always feel like you belong, and as a group, you will reach out and find ways to participate in the community. In my personal life, I try to always keep God number one, followed by family and then friends. I try to thank God, ask God, worship God, and turn to Him first and foremost before dealing with other issues. Now, I don't pretend for 1 minute to achieve this very often. It is my goal, not necessarily an often attainable one. But a small group has a unique position of bringing all three of these goals together. The primary purpose of the small group is to learn more about and become closer to God and His Word. As a group, we intimately study the Word and will of God. We become close and share many things. The group becomes family, not like family, but an extension of our family, and also shares our joys and sorrows within our own families. The members of our small group have also become good friends. So one group of people becomes instrumental in bringing all three of these objectives to fruition. So from the heart, I can't imagine having gone through these last 9 months without small group, without all of you. But my small group was there every minute of every day. I could call at 3 a.m. just to cry, and somebody would be there. I can't tell you what it's meant to us, but you should try it if you haven't, because I just don't even know how to find the words. Small group has been my lifeline, and we don't know what's ahead, but I know they'll be there with me, as will God.
So here's what I learned that I didn't know when I came in today. This is and forever will be known as the crappy service. A unique outreach, you know. Join me at the crappy service, yeah. Small groups, all right, what I learned. It's shared dysfunction, you know. It's shared ickiness. It meets this need that we all have to be held up. It provides an opportunity, an accountability to set aside mediocrity. God uses it to help meet us in our mess. It helps people of all kinds of walks of life to have their own people. It gives us an opportunity to be a part of something that's bigger and greater than myself. That it changes it from being about me to being about we. To having real depth to the word family. Shared experience. Small groups matter because they are the way that God has chosen from the very beginning to make himself now known and work in people's lives, to change us. Transformation happens when my story becomes a story of God working in my life. That's what we want for you. That's what we want for everyone who gathers here in his name. We've been in Acts 2 for, this is the fifth week, okay? We don't want this whole thing to remain a history lesson, where we've sat and we've talked for over a month about what God did a long, long, long time ago. And we don't want it to remain, please hear this, we don't want it to remain someone else's story. This transformed life, this life marked by God's hand working in and upon and through, we want it to become your story, our story together. And it can happen. Much bigger than that. It should happen. Because it's always been a part of God's plan. Amen. We're going to pray. Bow your heads, would you please? Prayer partners, if you would come forward. Lord, I believe that you're tugging at some people. I believe through the voices of these that you've been able to reveal yourself in a greater way. I believe through the voices of these that you've been actively working in, that there are those in this room that are hearing you. And I'm praying, Lord, please, that there's also creating a longing for something more, something different, something real, like right now. And I thank you that you're able. That your love is so great, you've already provided a way. Here's my prayer, Lord. I pray that as a people, individuals, we make individually, we make up this body, but as a body, what we will be known as this people that trust you, that are willing to act, to believe in your promises and your word, and put ourselves in a place that you say you can bless. Please, Lord. Please. We thank you that through Jesus change life, not just changed eternity. Thank you for that, but also change life is possible. May we trust you to do it your way. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to sing in just a moment, folks. This has been about small groups, but it's bigger than small groups. It's about opening up his word and just seeing, just believing him that He has revealed himself. He continues to reveal himself and transform us in certain situations and small groups he's used from the beginning. If you're not a part of one, Patrick's in the back. He can help you get into one or at least take down your information so that we can try to make one happen, because God works there, okay? It's about small groups, but it's bigger than that. What we're asking, what we're pleading with God for is transform lives. Something new happening in his body right here. And that doesn't happen independently of Jesus. It's really all about him. If you've not turned to him, if he is not your Lord and Savior, if you've not been made one together with him in baptism, become part of his family, that's where it starts.